This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We are excited to introduce our next guest. Ann Mavity is her name, Executive Director of Minnesota Housing Partnership. Why are we talking about it? Well, here we go. While prices have dropped in 2023, the average amount of money to buy a home is still nearly $100,000 more now than it was at the start of the COVID pandemic. With reports of people shying away from becoming homeowners, questions about affordable housing continue to bubble up every now and again. Are there any good strategies that cities and states can provide so people can reach that goal of home ownership? Ann Mavity, Executive Director of the Minnesota Housing Partnership, is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline for a conversation about this issue and some of their initiatives. Welcome, Annie. Ann, I keep wanting to say Annie. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having us and for talking about this really important issue tonight.
It is really important. I remember the exciting time in the great state of Minnesota, especially the Twin Cities, when young people were buying homes. My first house that I bought was $30,000. It was a big old house with a lot of problems, but $30,000. And the interest rates at that time was about 16. I mean, you think now what you'd have to go through just to get $100,000 of a house. So tell us where you stand when it comes to what's happening with housing, not just in the great Twin Cities, but the state of Minnesota, period.
Absolutely. Well, you know, what we're seeing right now, I think everyone somewhere in their family, individually, or people they know, the housing squeeze is being felt in every single corner of the state. And we know certainly you're seeing that in home ownership, where the cost of an average home in the Twin Cities is well over $400,000. And throughout the state, it's increasingly out of reach for the folks who want it and need it. And of course, in the multifamily rental market, it's even a tighter squeeze. We know that one out of every four renter households pay more than they can afford for housing. And that's true in every county in Minnesota. 25% of folks are paying more than they can afford.
Oh, my God. How do they keep that going?
Well, in some ways, we're not, right? I think the hardest thing about this is that so many times individuals feel like it's a personal failure, that they can't afford their own first home. They hear their parents, you know, had a home, sort of your story that we just heard as well, or they're just struggling to pay the rent every month, and it feels like a personal failure. And I think what we really need to understand is that it's not. It's a housing system that's really upside down and broken. And it costs more to build a home than most folks can afford to pay. And that's what the challenge is right now. And it's why folks are feeling it from, you know, first-time homeowners all the way to our hardest-working, lowest-wage households as well.
This discussion has been going on now for decades, and we don't seem to see a big enough difference in the prices and the availability and whether or not the young, you know, the 30-something-year-olds can actually buy their first house or the tiny house. Jonathan Lohr, my producer, and I were talking about tiny homes. And even the prices are just going up and up and up. How are we supposed to sustain it, not just here in the Twin Cities, not just here in the state of Minnesota, but across the country?
I think we have good solutions that we need to have both the political will and the public will to actually put into practice. So we know, for example, that when, you know, it costs a lot to build a home for a lot of different reasons. Certainly land costs are one of them. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at right now, and frankly, that states around across the United States have looked at, to say, how do we reduce the costs it takes to build a home? And some of those are land costs. So if you have one home on a couple acres and are required by your local city folks to have, you know, three bedrooms and three car garages and all of that, every single piece of that costs more. And if you could put three homes on that same piece of land, you can cut those costs down dramatically for each individual homeowner. So there's lots of strategies related to land use as well to really reduce some of these costs to folks. And but we need to have a more systematic approach to it. So we're looking, for example, you know, in Montana, the governor had a task force that's looked at, you know, how do you make sure people can keep these costs down as they're trying to do it. Washington State's done it. 23 states around the country have done this. We think Minnesota can do that as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the, you remember those tiny homes that they used to have on television? Sure. There were different shows that showed how you could build a tiny home. Okay, so there are families, even grandparents, who say, hey, I got enough land here. It'd be nice for me to be able to put two, you know, tiny homes on this property so that, you know, my grandchildren will have a place to live, will have a place that they own themselves. These are the things that were talked about, you know, just a couple of years ago. And now I hardly ever see those shows anymore. I hardly ever hear about tiny homes. And I've heard from homeowners who will tell me, hey, they don't want us to put any tiny homes on the properties. It's illegal in certain states. Is that true?
Sure. Yes. And actually, a lot of those rules right now are governed by cities. So from city to city, you might have different rules. Sometimes these are called accessible dwelling units, accessory dwelling units, and or ADUs, sort of like tiny homes, or maybe you convert your garage or the top of your garage or, you know, things like that to add additional homes. So, you know, this is one of the things that we're seeing across the country and we're hoping to do in Minnesota as well, is to say people should be able to do that on their property without having to ask all this permission. If there's room and there's space to do it, add that home. Now, will that solve our entire housing challenges or certainly the cost challenges? No. But it will help release that innovation and creativity to let people actually begin to solve this by themselves and together more broadly. So, yes, we need to make sure that there's not barriers when people want to do these kinds of solutions. And we're working on that at the state level. We need everyone to be working on that at the state level as well, to help say, yes, we need to be smarter and allow, you know, much more creative uses of our land in order to have better solutions.
You know, a lot of the homes that we pass by every day and don't know who lived there, there are five generations living in some of those homes, right? But each one of those generations can't afford it except those that own the house. So where do we go from here? Are we talking to our legislators and saying to them, we need to find a way to make sure that the next generation is able to buy something or able to build something either on their property or buy a piece of property and put it on that. I'm not quite sure how it works, but if you can help me understand it, I would really appreciate it.
Well, and I would say it's a both and, because certainly for many folks, making sure they have affordable rental housing is super important. You know, with the baby boomer generation, what we see is a lot of folks that are staying in their homes really longer than they can do so safely or to keep the property up. But on a fixed income, trying to access a rental that where they might be able to get better care as they age, that's really hard too. So what we really need is a more robust look across all these housing choices, right? I just helped my parents who are in their 80s sell their house of 30 years and move them into an apartment, right? There's lots of reasons people are making choices for these different housing types. So part of what we need to do, this last year was actually very effective in getting a lot of resources focused and dedicated on housing. Sort of the upside of a bad situation in housing right now is that it's affecting more people, and more people are paying attention and want to see solutions up and down the income continuum, right? And so that the state actually deployed quite a bit of funding towards housing. Much of it was one-time funding, because housing is a good way to use one-time funding. You build it, and it's there for the next, 50 years, 100 years. So that's a great solution. Now we need to make sure that all those barriers that get in place to actually create the housing, right? It takes years sometimes to put together these projects and developments, because oftentimes to make it affordable, you're not just going to one bank and getting a loan in the way we used to, right? What you have to do is get lots of different sources, maybe down payment assistance. You might need someone to help pay off the interest, or, give a loan specifically to pay the interest so that you're only paying the principal. All these different kinds of strategies need to be put in place. And with land use, we need to make sure that the rules to build are super clear, that we're not adding costs through this whole building process, and that we're really facilitating this supply and development of housing. And so we think that there can be a lot of ways we can work with local government to make sure that they're not standing in the way of building housing by putting too many rules and regulations on top of it.
I believe there's too many rules and regulations. It is so difficult, even for, young adults that are in their 30s, they're having a hard time doing it. Not only that, it used to be you could drive down communities, right? Go into a community and you're going to see some of those houses for sale, and you get a chance to look and you say, oh, I want to call and see if I can, go take a look at it. You don't even see signs out anymore. So the only way that you can really find out is through the realtors. Am I correct with that?
So, I mean, certainly for the home ownership market, particularly looking online, everything, yes, you can get information online and you can work through realtors to access that. I think the hardest thing right now, though, is that there's also places like the Minnesota Home Ownership Center and a whole network of organizations that they work with that provide information for first-time homeowners to get connected to the kinds of resources that they might not otherwise have access to. I do want to say, though, that, we are still recovering from the recession back in 2006, 7, 8. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where everything tightened up and the creation, the building, production of new housing, both rental and single-family home ownership, just plummeted. And so that lasted for years. And so now we are still 20 years later trying to catch up to what wasn't built. So just to keep up with population growth, job growth, those kinds of things, we sort of need to overproduce more housing right now than you'd think for year over year because we're behind.
Yeah.
There was a recent report came out from the National Low Income Housing Coalition based out of D.C. I'm on the board of that organization. In Minnesota, for the rental side, they've noted that especially for lowest income households, right, they are the ones squeezed the most. Certainly, home ownership is out of reach, but housing broadly is. So out of 167,000 extremely low income households that Minnesota has, there's only 63,000 rental homes that are available to them.
Oh my goodness.
That's more than 100,000 units.
Oh my gosh. I wish we had more time together. We have run out of time and I don't want run out of time. I must have you back on, Ann. I must have you back on so we can talk about this more. And I appreciate your knowledge and helping me understand tonight. But wow, this is huge. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
That is Ann Mavity, Executive Director of Minnesota Housing Partnership.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.